God is to help us. You know, there's one man of God, fake man of God, he was shouting recently that all men of God have lusted after women in their hearts, you know. Even me, self, you know, I was so lost. It does your share revelation, you know, it does your share revelation about, you know, how Jesus Christ said that even if you lost in your heart, you fornicated, you know. So it does your share revelation, you know. I tell you the truth, it's not everybody that is undressing women in their mind. Are we together? If it were not so, Jesus would not say it's possible. Jesus said it's possible. Again. So, still on the issue of impartation, you know, if you listen to worldly music, you will eventually start battling lust. Why? Because that sound is carrying an impartation of the Spirit. Are we together? And so when you pay attention to it, you open up your heart to that impartation. And you open up your heart to the impartation that it would then become, it will turn to theme inside you, or it will turn to replay inside. That's why, you know, for instance, you know that you know, as you're in church now, maybe like now, if they play a sound, you react. Maybe, for instance, I don't have any example to use, but what I mean is that as you are sitting here now looking holy and pious, there's a sound that they can play. Like, before you just say, you know that thing now? You know that thing? Yeah, because, you see, the thing has created factory inside of you. You get? It's not everybody that wakes up in the morning singing the video song. Yeah. Huh? Again. All right. And so worship gives us the opportunity, let me put it that way, to open up ourselves to receive from the Spirit of God. So it's a very, very, for your own selfish purpose. You know, there's worshiping to God, there's now, but I'm telling you, for your own or there's ministering to God, rather. But for your own purpose, because you see, as you minister to God in worship, that's, when I say open your heart, that's what I mean, is you open your heart to connect to God. And so, one of the things you never want to do is that you never want to be a passenger during worship. Praise God. What did I say? Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Not now. Are you listening to me? Okay. You never want to be a passenger during worship. Just while away and just flow. And you know, music is good, you know. If there's, it's good, what I mean by that is that you have sound and instrument and all that kind of thing, you know. At times, some of us, you need to go through like 6 months, no sound. You know what I mean? Bad instruments, you know, the speaker, you know. So that you will learn that worship is not good music. You get, right? And so I want us to know. I'm not, like I said, I'm not in my heart. I don't know how you are receiving it. Well, I mean, you should receive it as a serious thing. But in my heart, I'm not like sad or, you know, offended or something like that. I'm just telling us, you know, that you need to improve. Everybody say, I need to improve. Yeah, you need to improve. season of improvement. What I mean is this is age bracket. You need to learn how to conduct yourself in the presence of God. You get? When you learn these things, you will learn that it's not everything that you need people to pray for you about. You understand? All right. What's your name again? Paradise. I mean, yeah, I keep forgetting. I keep mistaking it with God's light. Because, you know, the two names are very powerful. So in my mind, I was like, who is that powerful name again? So, worship can do what... Are we together? You know? Like in our paradise, you know, every time I see, I always see somebody that needs proper healing from God. You know, it's almost like I see a heart that is half is damaged. Half is working, half is damaged. Am I correct? And, you know, it's not prayer. At times, it's just worship. You just open your heart, and then the Spirit comes. I think this is getting too sad. So let's greet ourselves. Let's stand up. Let's welcome to church. So let's stand up. Let's greet ourselves. Please make sure you go around. Dutie, go around. Go around. Praise God. All right. So we're going to be having a charge. You don't know who yet, no. You don't know who yet. Who can guess? Who can guess who in this church is giving us this charge? Eh? Eh? No, guess, the person is in this church. You hear what I said very well. The person is in this church. We are going to have a charge now for the next 20 minutes. Who can guess? Some people are saying Pastor Ewande. Who else? Indifreke. Okay. Who else? Pastor Remo. Hear what I'm saying very well. I said the person is in this church. The person is in this church. No, the person, Pastor Lal is not in this church now. The person is in this church. Okay, let me help you. The person is a teenager. Favor. It can be favor now. Who said something? I heard Apostle something. Apostle. No, it is not Apostle Jewel. Can we... And you know this person is a teenager, so you people need to encourage you. Are we together? Yes, sir. Wait now, wait. When I call, you will clap. right? So you need to encourage, you need to be active, and you need to receive it like you need to have the seriousness as if I was the one, you know. That's how to be blessed, no matter who. Are we together? Because the moment we give somebody a microphone like this, the person has turned to oracle of God.
Yes.
Get, right? I said the person is fake. And if you're fake, you won't be oracle of God. But as long as you're a genuine person, you have turned to oracle of God. So please, listen. And, you know, these are God catches people. The word that will cause breakthrough this year can come from this thing, you know. So don't belittle it. All right. So with Jesus join your hearts, can we receive the ministration for the next 20 minutes of Chisom?
Thank you. All right, thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, thank you guys. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Sorry, good afternoon, everybody. Okay. All right, so let's just pray before I start the whole thing. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, King of Glory, Ancient of Days, I am that I am. My lover, my king, my father. I thank you for the privilege to be here today. I thank you for everything you've done for me. I thank you for my fellow teenagers that are here today. I thank you for your word. May your name be highly exalted in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that as I speak, Lord, I pray you speak through me in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray you use me as a vessel in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray you open the heart of every teenager here in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray you bless us through this word in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' most precious name, I pray. All right. So I want to say thank you to Pastor Kenny and all the leaders of GRTM because it's a privilege to be here today. So I want to say big thank you. Okay. So today, I want to talk about knowing your identity as a child of God. So that's the topic for today. So I chose this topic because it's, you know, you might just know you're a child of God, but you might not understand what it means to be called a child of God. So, what's identity? Identity is basically who you are. I don't want to go too much into identity because we have a lot to say today. Like, we have a whole lot today. So, everybody has an identity, Abby. You have an identity?
Yes.
You have an identity?
Yes.
Do you know your identity?
Yes.
Do you understand your identity? All right. So, let's just do a recap of before we gave our life to Christ. So, before we gave our life to Christ, obviously, we were sinners, Abby.
Yes.
We're slaves, basically. We are not saying we're slaves. We're slaves to sin. And what do slaves do? Slaves are tools. Slaves are people that are under control. People that don't have a choice. They just follow what they're like. Slaves don't get to choose if they want to go left. If their master said they should go left, they go left. So slaves basically don't have a choice. So that's what we were before we met Jesus. So we're doing things that even when we don't want to do it, we just find ourselves doing it. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying? Because I know for sure that when I was a sinner, There were a lot of sins I was committing, and I don't want to do it. I actually know it's wrong, but because I was a slave, I was held captive by the enemy. So that's what slaves do. So we're slaves to sin. Let's look at Romans 7:14-17. Let's use NIV, please. Habakkuk, let's use NIV. For Romans 7:14-17. Romans 7:14-17. So slaves are under bondage. They are under control. And if there's one thing I know is that slaves live in fear. Abi?
Yes.
When you were a sinner, you were never afraid. Like, come out and brag about your sins. So that's what slaves do. Let me use my Bible because Habakkuk is long. So Romans 7, please, if you are there, you can read for me. Romans 7:14-17. All right. So verse 17, I wanted us to really use, okay, NIV. All right. Please start from verse 14 again. Let me read through. Thank you, blessing. We know that the law is spiritual and I am unspiritual, so that slaves to sin. 15. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do, I do. So now you can, Now, if you look well, this is basically what I was talking about. When you want to do something and you can't do it, but it's exactly what you hate to do that you do. This is what slaves do. 16. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. 17. As it is, it's no longer I myself who do it, but it's a sin living in me. So long story short, Jesus Christ came into the scene, Abby. He brought salvation. So let's open our Bible to Romans 6:1-4. Romans 6:1-4. I just want to give us a whole foundation before I start talking. Romans 6:1-4. NIV, please. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? 2. By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? 3. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So you see, verse 4 is now showing us that we have a new life, Abby. There's newness of life. Now, let me tell you the difference between being a slave and being with Jesus. You know, we never had a choice before, but now we have a choice. So this new life that Jesus gave us is basically a full package, because there's freedom, because there's dominion, there's a lot, honestly. What Jesus gave us is not a joke. Let's move to this same verse. Let's go to 14 and 18. So you see the difference between a slave and a servant. Because when I gave my life to Christ, I was like, I had some issues to do, but then God now brought someone into my life, and that person was more like my mentor that was guiding me. So we're just doing Bible study one day, and he was like, we read one part that talked about being slaves to sin and all that. And he was asking me, Chisholm, when you were a sin, what were you? I said I was a slave. He said, now you are with Jesus. What are you? I said, I'm a slave. So I wasn't saying slave. I was still saying, he was like, now you've been with Jesus. I said, I'm a slave. I'm still a slave. The difference is just that I'm under Jesus. Do you guess? But that's when he now explains. So that's why I really, really want to share this with everybody today. So for sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but you are under grace. Give me 18. I just really want us to just run through this thing. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves of righteousness. So this is what I did not understand. Like, I did not understand the fact that I had a master before, but the master I have now is very different from the master I had before. So my understanding was not enlightened. And that thing really put me in the dark, because I kept shouting, I'm a child of God. I don't even understand what a child of God is. So this is saying that Jesus has given us a very brand new identity as a child of God. So now when you say you're a child of God, it's not by words, it's not by shouting. Because that time, if you come here and say, are you a Christian? I will stand up, because I'm a Christian. But I actually don't understand what it means. I actually did not understand what it means to be a child of God. So coming into our identity, or coming to the knowledge of who you are, is something that really scares the devil. because just I'm preaching what I already experienced. So when you come into knowledge of who you are, he knows that now you get it. Now you understand the power. Now you understand the authority that you're under. Do you understand? So that's something that the devil is really, really... So there are many of us that are just screaming, I'm a child of God. But you don't know what you are under. You don't know what you carry. So let me tell you what knowing our identity will help us to do. When you know our identity, you'll be able to control your reactions. You'll be able to handle situations. Let me give a practical example. Let's say we're in a class, yeah? And then we have Otedola daughter, and we have a random person, a random girl. And then teacher just comes in and say, guys, you are paying $500K for project, blah, blah, blah. This Otedola daughter has a father, Abby. You have a father, Abby. She's a child, Abby. You are a child, Abby. So when teacher brings that kind of news, her reaction will not be the same as your reaction because she understands the kind of... I'm just trying to be carnal, but I hope you understand what I'm saying. Because she understands the kind of father that she has. Pastor Kenny said something last week, and it was like, when you're coming to meet God, you're not just coming to meet anybody. You have to have an understanding of who you're coming to meet. So when you call yourself a child of God, you have to have an understanding of that God. Do you know what it means to be... being a child of God, like a child of the Ancient of Days. God, it's a big deal. Most of us don't just know. And so you can see, Otedola daughter, she won't shake. Nothing is going to shake her. What's 500K? She already knows that her father is capable. You have a father. You don't even know your father. You're just shaking like catfish. You don't even have an idea. Honestly, you would obviously not have an idea because you don't understand. So that's the difference between... There's no difference between them. Only the understanding. The understanding is what's the difference. So if you know your identity, you'll be able to control your reaction in any situation, whatever the enemy brings to you. Once your understanding is intact like this, when I started understanding my identity as a child of God, things I used to shake about before, I don't shake about it again. Because I'm like, if I have a very bad dream before, when I wake up, I'll be sweating, I'll be shaking, I'll be crying. But when I calm down and I process it in my head, and you just explain to me, and if I have a bad dream, I will stand up. Nothing is going to happen to me. Nothing, because I'm a child of God. So I want us to really understand that when you're a child of... The second thing is when you know your identity, it determines how ready you are for any attack, any fight, anything that... It really, really determines... Because if you don't know your identity, they will carry you away, you know, because you just see yourself moving. You would actually not know what's going on. But if you know your identity, it determines how ready you are for any attack. If the devil gives you physical attack, you are ready. Emotional attack, you are ready. Spiritual attack, you are ready. It even determines how well you finish the fight. Let's be honest. Because let me use David as an example. When Goliath came, a whole army was shaking. Goliath is here, Goliath is here, Goliath is here. David did not even come to fight war. David just came around and he heard what happened. And he looked at the Goliath and he says, like, okay, is this the Goliath? Like, I don't understand. Is this the Goliath you're talking about? So David already had a very beautiful understanding of God. He called him Goliath, uncircumcised. David already had an eye that can scan you through and say, no, I can't fear this one. There's nothing to fear. So that's the kind of... And if he was a teenager, this is not something you can say, I can't do. Oh, I can't know my identity. Oh, I can't be bold about it. David was a teenager. And David stood and looked at Goliath and said, Goliath, this guy is uncircumcised. Why are you guys fearing? What's there to fear? You get, so when the devil is bringing any problem as big as Goliath's, you will look at it and be like, I don't understand. What's this? You're a child of God. Our God don't even die. That's the sweet part. So you're a child of God. So you want to tell me that someone like David will lose a fight? Someone that... Let's look at 1 Samuel 17, 45. Let's see that David had so much understanding about who he was, about the God that he was serving. 1 Samuel 17, 45. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, so David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the army of Israel, whom you have defiled. So you see, David is a representation. When you have an identity, you are automatically a representation of whatever you are. Do you understand? So David already had understand. David already knew that how dare you. So David could stand and like defend his identity as a child of God. And I feel it's even very embarrassing when you say you're a child of God and you are not even acting like the child of God. When Jesus came into this world, Jesus did not look faithful. Jesus came into this world. Jesus knew his identity. And Jesus really represented God very well. So I want to let us know today that you don't think you're just living your life anyhow. You're actually, if you claim to be a child of God, you're automatically representing Jesus Christ. So you act like a child of God. You behave like your father is the Ancient of Days. That's what I really want us to act today. Ephesians 6. Okay, no, let's not go there first. So someone that don't understand their identity cannot really relate to this thing. Let's look at Ephesians 6, 11 to 12. Okay, Ephesians 6, 11 to 12. We're still talking on how our identity help us to be ready for any attack. Ephesians 6, 11 to 12. Ephesians 6, 11 to 12. Okay, put on your full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So, you can see that all this. I really want us to look at Colossians 2:10. Before I start explaining, Colossians 2:10. So you can see that all this package that the world is bringing to us, if you have an identity, if you have knowledge of who you are, you would not shake. So in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He's the head over every power and authority. So if you have an identity, any principality and power that the devil is bringing, you look at Colossians 2:10, and you have your answer. That's because you have come into a very full knowledge of who you are. So if you know your identity, and the devil is bringing principalities and power, and you are seeing witches in your dream, you will come to Colossians 2:10, and you will see that God, the God you are serving, is the head over every power and authority. And when you call his name, every knee shall bow. So your identity really, really, really makes you confident. It's not about knowing; it's about understanding. Like, you have to understand. Don't claim to be something you don't understand. You have to understand your identity. All right, let's move. So knowing your identity also automatically helps you begin a journey with God. Because when you know your identity as a child of God, you begin to seek him more. You begin to ask for more. And also, there's this thing that Papa Ewai said in SOD that was like, your journey is your reference. That he was talking about references. So if you have a journey with God, you begin to have references, Abby. And the only time you can have a journey with God is what? If you understand your identity as a child. It's not a play. Don't stand. If they say Christian, stand up. If you don't understand, don't stand up. I'm not even joking. Don't claim to be who you are not, what you don't understand. Don't even claim to be it. So knowing the last one is knowing your identity terminates pressure. Can't be pressurized. You cannot pressure me. You see, and this one I think is more relatable because as teenagers, new things are coming out. You see girls wearing crazy jeans, you see girls posting boyfriend, and Valentine's even coming safe. People be shaking. People that say they are Christians, nobody will be my those crazy things. I'm just wondering why they are pressurized about it. So when you know your identity as a child, nothing will pressure you. See, boyfriend cannot come and tell you that, I'll buy you a house, I'll buy you a car. You say, no, in my father's house, there are many mansions. In short, you would dash him. You tell him, come, we have room for you. So that's how it is. Nobody would pressure you. Because when you know your identity, you already know your inheritance. So is it iPhone? Like, I don't even understand. Is it short gown? Is it wig? don't go to TikTok and I'm pressurizing your life. Because you are a child of God. God, I mean capital letter, God. So I don't want you to be shaking, I beg. All right. So now when you understand your identity, if there's one thing that can happen when you understand your identity, is the fact that the devil is coming for you. Yeah. There is war. Yeah. Like, you see this is sweeting everybody now, but there is war. When you choose to come into that knowledge of who God says you should be, of the of a child of God, the devil is coming for you. Because now you already, like, you surpass that, like, you're no more naive. You are sure that this is, so the devil is coming for you. So you have to preserve it. Because when I give my to Christ, all these things, I didn't really understand. I feel if I understood these things, I would have not, like, I would have not been moving like butterfly, but what happened, happened. I feel God just wanted me to experience it. So when I came to Christ, for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, it was using me, like sugar. I was even saying, God, let me die now, so I'll come and meet you in your home, those kind of things. So it was using me. I was just everywhere at the same time. I feel it was even because I wasn't under anybody. And then the devil started bringing things to me. And I started falling for it again. I started becoming a slave again. And I started asking God, like, does it mean I'm not your child? She gets. And what's it? No, you are my child. You don't understand what it means to be a child. So the first thing you should do to preserve or maintain your identity as a child is to keep your heart or guard your heart. These are our hearts. God. Sometimes I ask God, why do you create hearts? Because what heart can I do to you? Honestly, like, your heart is a lot. So you should guard your heart. The Bible says, guard your heart with what? Out of it comes. Beautiful. So we should always guard our hearts. Don't be tempted. Anything that this world has to give you, don't be tempted. Guard your heart. There was some Pastor Lord who said that it's always good to listen to preaching and carry it and go to your house because it really, really helps. So there was some Pastor Lord who said that in your heart, you should have like a checkpoint. You know, when you're traveling, police are always, they always checkpoints, different checkpoints. Funny enough, it's on the same road. But they always checkpoint. And the devil, and the police people are always like stopping cars to check. Then if you are good to go, they will let you go. So your heart, you should have like a checkpoint in your heart. Pastor Lalu said that thing, and it has changed my life. You have a checkpoint in your heart. So let's say as girls or as teenagers, and when the devil brings temptation, let me say you are battling with lust, all those kind of things. And then, okay, let's say you see one fine boy now, your head is moving around. And then you go home and the devil wants to bring that thought into your head and you want to start thinking about it. Your heart, there should be like, just don't let the security man of your heart sleep. Like, they should be standing like this. You should check and be like, what am I thinking about? Then you send it back. It's not allowed in your heart. You own your heart. This heart that we're talking about, we own our hearts. And you cannot lie to yourself. That's the sweet thing about your heart. So guard it. Guard your heart. I don't know how to emphasize it so much, but your heart has to be where it's meant to be. Because when you lose the location of when your heart is not with God, you do things that you never expect yourself to do. So the second way you can preserve your identity is to obey the voice of God and the word of God. I mean, when it comes to you, always obey. If there's one thing that the Holy Spirit is teaching me right now, my life, or has been teaching me since, is obedience. Because I have strong head, and the Holy Spirit has really, really, really been teaching me how to obey His word. I think last year when I was just there with my Christianity, I didn't want to really take anything serious. So because I didn't want to be that fire girl, everybody come and shouting. So I was just trying to be on a low key, like do your thing. But then you're serving God. Then I now. You know, when you give up to Christ now, there are some movies you can't watch, there are some things you can't do. Then, and I also one movie like that came out, and I knew that if I watch this movie, I'm in soup. But I was just looking, Holy Spirit kept telling me, that if you know you, like my heart, in my heart, I was having a serious conversation, and Holy Spirit was telling me, you know that if you watch this film, you are gone, like breeze will carry you. And I'm like, I was not there in the spirit. No, me, I'm a strong girl. I already know Jesus now. This is not Bible. Like, my body was just scratching me. Then I watched the movie. I'm not capping. It took me 5 months to come back to where God wanted me to be. Just that small thing. Like, just that. It's not small. I thought it was small. But just that disobedience. No, I'll watch it. How many hours is the movie? 1 hour. It took me five solid. When I watch a movie like this, all these things, I say, God, I'm not in here. I went back. Like, I ran. It was as well I ran back. And I knew that if I had a full understanding of my identity in Christ, I don't think I would have gone that far. But God used 5 months. Mount devil's pump, because I've heard when people say God used 2 years to correct them. But God used 5 months. And the devil really held me because I could not pray. Have you ever sinned and you are scared to enter the presence of God? Yeah. Eh? The kind of sin I sin. Like, when he say, come and pray, I was talking like this. I'm like, ah, no, God must not see my face. Did you get? So that was, like, and the only, it's not like God was, God, I know God is a very forgiving God, but God really wanted me to learn. And in my life, I'm not even capable. Next time that the enemy tells me to watch and speak, I will not watch. So we should always obey God. And Abraham too. When I was studying the story of Abraham, when God just said, Abraham, pack your bag and you should be going. God did not say anything, just say, be moving. Abraham stood up and he moved. How can, I always ask God, God, give me Abraham's heart because I don't understand. Imagine as I'm doing my thing now, maybe I want to write why I can't do this. And God is telling me, just unpack your bag and go to Ikorodu. Which Ikorodu? Who do I know in Ikorodu? In short, I will start asking God, God, who do I know in Ikorodu? What should I do inside Ikorodu? Do you get what I'm saying? But Abraham had, and Papi said something, that 21 days stuff we had. Papi said something and he was like, sometimes God is not looking at how you, God is not looking at, like, sometimes it's not about the words that God brings to you or what you're going to do. Sometimes it's about the swiftness of your heart. How quick you are able to stand up and obey God. How you don't question him and say, ah, God, is it today I'm going? Can I wait? Can we do it tomorrow? Because, you know, I'm tired. Abraham, you know, so that's the heart we should have. We should always obey. It's, let me know, even like, the devil is making it hard. But I believe that if you, the little things, like, ah, God, should I, if God say, ah, don't leave the house by 5, leave by 5:30. Calm down and leave by 5:30. So if you practice in those little things, if God is saying, no, don't go to WhatsApp today, just calm down. Like, just, I mean, little things. If God tell you to fast today, fast. If you obey God in those little things, when the big thing is come, so look like 5 naira, you just obey him and you forget it. So the third thing we should do is that we should cut off or sieve out people and things around us. Not everybody, but we know, all of us, we know the people that are distracting us. We know the people that are killing us. So if you want to maintain your identity, anybody that come into your life, after scanning them through, and you see that they are going to distract you, you remove yourself. Like you remove, if you want to block them, you can block them. If you want to do anything, you can do, but remove, like, delete yourself from their life. Nobody should force you. You just remove. Because, let me use an example. You know, I learned fashion designing in some academy. So when they gave us projects, we went to buy material, blah, blah. And have you ever seen a plain material? It's always like big without any form. It's just big. So I'm going to, let's just say that material was a human being. Let's just use it. I want to really give an example. So in that fabric head, that's the best form it can be. Should get that fabric in that fabric head when they produce it. That's the best. That fabric just wants to be there, it doesn't want to do anything. When they brought it to us as fashion designers, let's say God is our fashion designer. Before they brought that fabric to us, we already had a plan for it. We have sketched out everything, how we want the gown to look, how we want, we put details, everything. And the fabric now come. We now bought the fabric. We now start a process. Just imagine this fabric is a human being. We now start a process. We start measuring. We start cutting. We start folding. We start pinning. We start using a machine to sew it together. We start folding. We start ironing it. So just imagine God. In short, God is our fashion designer. God is one. God already has a plan for you. Everything is already written down. It's just left for you to conquer. To it. So imagine how painful, if that was the life of a human being, you can see that we had to cut out some parts, throw it away, we don't need it. We had to bring in some new things. We had to sew some, we had to, so the, when you are following God, there will be healing. God will remove people from your life. God will see people from you. God will bring in people from you. And when we finish that clothes, it always comes out very beautiful. But the pain and the whole thing, so if that fabric choose to bend one corner like this, it will stress us. So we have to look for how to bend it. So let me tell you the truth. When you are doing stronger for God, and God is on your case, you're not suffering yourself. Because he would keep till he makes you look beautiful. If I sew a skirt, and that skirt is not looking like what I drew, I'll start again. I will sew it till the skirt has every detail I want to put on that skirt. So that's how, just say it like God is your fashion designer. Put it in your head like that. When your life, when things are not going right, put it, when people are leaving your life, thank God. When I give my life to Christ. Some people, I don't force them, honestly. Some people just stop talking to me. Some people just stop. I was thanking God because it's a blessing. If people use their hand and live your life, just be saying, God, I thank you. Because maybe they are the one that would help you to spoil everything. So you make it easy for God, eh? Just sit down and go through your, like, scan. Just, I don't know if it's your contact list or your brain. Just remove people. Use your hand. Remove people from your life. And let me tell you, God will bring new people. Ah, God, God has adequate stuff. So, like, every time, God, what God have, eh? God will bring new people. When people left my life, I was like, hey, loneliness want to kill me. I'm not capping. Sometimes I used to cry about it. Because I'm like, ah, nobody's talking to me. I was on my body that nobody's talking to me. God now brought me to GCC. And I met family. So that's how God would do it. If you cut off people from your life, how God would be like, cut off musics. I'm not even lying. Hey, what music would do to you? Pastor, I remember it's one of very, 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 very small academy. Cut off music, cut off friends, movies. I've shared my movie story, so... cut off those things from your life and let God work in your life. The fourth thing, I think it's the fourth thing, Abby. Yes, that we should do in order to preserve our identity is to read the Word of God. I know we see it every day. Even myself, I have problems with it. But the Holy Spirit is helping me. Read the Word of God. Like, I mean, capital letter, read the Word of God. Because that's what will preserve you. And the Word of God also gives you more knowledge about your identity. You have a lot of identity. You have identity as a God's disciple. You have identity as a child of God. You have identity as an army of God. You have identity. So, the God of God will also help you to bring you into more knowledge of yourself, of what you should do now you're a child of God. So, read your Bible. Like, read your Bible, please. Just read your Bible. You can start with stories. You can start with... and probably when your pastor preach today, you just go home. And all these Bible verses... you just go and read them again and go slowly. You start reading. If you come to church every day, you read your Bible. So the fifth thing is, it's not the least, but it's the fifth, is pray. Now, prayer is too important to miss. Prayer, I don't even joke with it. If you joke with it, well, it's only you that will, I don't even know what to say. But pray. 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 There's this book I was reading. Name of the book is Attend to Your Soul. And those part I was like saying, if you can charge your soul the way you charge your phone, everybody will be shining like a star. And that's very true. I had to meditate. I sat down and I was thinking, like, because I noticed if my phone is like 15%, I'm gone. I'm looking for charger. Do you have charger? Is there light? Do you have charger? I will start shaking. Just 15%. It's not dead though. It's just 15%. So if we can monitor our soul like that, if you can charge every day. If you're in the bus, charge your soul. If you are going to a place that distraction will kill you, be charging it. It must not die. So if you can pray like that, things will be better. And prayer is the key. Even Jesus, that already had an identity from when God came, he still prayed. Because prayer is the only thing that can preserve you and that can keep you. When you pray, I don't want to... but prayer is a beautiful thing, actually. So I want us to step into the identity. And don't be scared. When I say that the devil is coming for you, also know that you have backing. So don't be... there's nothing to shake. It's just, you are doing yourself good. If you step into your identity as a child of God, if you step into this world every day as a child of God, you are doing yourself... You are, it's a very beautiful thing. So after today, I really want us to live and understand that we are children of God. You are not ordinary. You are not a joke. You're not 1 5-naira girl that you can shift to one corner. No, you are a child of God. So every one of us here today, I really want us to understand that we are children of God. You know, there's this song we sing. I sing in primary school. I know who I am. You put your song. So that song, if you can sing it every day too, I know who I am. I know you really know who you are. It will help you. So. Our identity is a beautiful thing. Don't joke with it. When people call you a child of God, be happy and act like a child of God. Think like a child of God. Behave like a child of God. In short, when you're eating, eat like a child of God. That's how you live. That's how I... like, my life is a testimony. I'm not even going to lie. God has been doing things in my life. So I think that's how God has been preserving me. He's always reminding me that, madam, stand up. You are a child of God. So let's just pray that God help us to come into full knowledge of who we are. Full knowledge. Let's pray. Let's close our eyes and pray. Honestly, ask God. Ask God that, God, I want you to help me come into full knowledge of who I am. Pray. Honestly, ask God.